Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Trevor.
But where's everyone else?
Yeah, I was about to start looking around, pointing. Carl's here in spirit, if you want to see us. For those of us watching on YouTube, congratulations, Carl. You're officially the Trivia Showdown winner with 19. Again, 9 more points possible than the amount of, or 8 more points possible than the amount of questions that were given. So, dude. Unbelievable. Honestly, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it. And we appreciate all the kind words of the last couple of weeks, and also just people calling him out. Man, it's all right. He won straight up. We talked to him. He understands that he's just a bigger brain than everyone else. He basically guessed our finale. So good for him.
Yeah.
Trivia Showdown, honestly, though, all jokes aside, was a lot of fun. I spent the last 6 weeks just basically taking a break doing this, and that's really what it felt like, other than trying to get schedules aligned, which was a lot of fun. But, I mean, just, I don't know. I enjoyed it, man. Honestly, like Josh and I were talking about earlier before we started, it's got to be an every year thing now at this point, because just people trying to get ridiculous trivia made by the two of us put together, in hindsight, seems really mean, but it worked out really well. So anywhere from 19 to 3, and obviously you may not have it in front of you, but we can go over it really quick as a final result, but I don't have it in front of me.
It was a lot. I think it was a lot of fun for us. It both also, like, it makes me excited. We're definitely going to have to do it again. It also worries me for, like, our trivia competition this year, where I fully expect us to be, you know, next June, last week of the finals, and it's going to be, all right, the trivia battle score is 1 to 0.5.
can we make an informal agreement now?
Several months.
Can we make an informal agreement now to not do a bunch of ridiculous 3 and 4 point questions? Because I'll tell you the truth, out the gate, I don't have any control. You get the first question. Oh, yeah, dude, wait, you get the first question, as always, right?
I get to set the tone. I'm the winner.
So you get the first question. Like, you get to get the first question from me, correct? Is that how we, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then out the gate, I'm giving you 1 point. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you a 1 point opportunity, not a 5 or a 10 or a, you know, because last year the scoring got confusing.
I asked the question first because I was the winner.
Right. I had it right. Okay.
Remember, I set the tone because I.
All right. Can we make an agreement to do a 1 point question to start each and then go from there? Just let the
maybe.
All right. It all depends on the week one stuff, because honestly, that's going to matter. It's going to be pertaining to what week one's going to be. It's the whatever storylines are happening at the time, which we don't know. Because, by the way, for those listening, 5 weeks from now, we'll have NBA basketball. Just let that sink in. I got chills when I said it. Man, just all that off the top being said. That
and the Hornets still have 4 open roster spots. Sorry.
You've kept that quiet for months. I mean, I'm proud of you.
Because I thought it changed by this point, but it hasn't.
I mean, you made the joke about looking around for where's everyone else, but like, this is just nice to be able to be like, hey, we have something to talk about today. Like, it's just really nice to just sit here and go, oh, the Hornets have 4 roster spots. Oh, by the way, the biggest trade of the offseason happened other than Rudy Gobert's, ironically enough. So Donovan Mitchell was officially traded, so that's why we're here. And just having to be back in that, like, here we're talking about something, here's an actual piece of content thing, is just very odd. So, again, here we are. Congratulations again, Carl. We'll go ahead and get started on the fact that, like I just said, Donovan Mitchell just got traded, which, hindsight the other day, I mean, I don't think I was prepared for it, because it was at, like, 2 p.m. in the afternoon on, like, a Friday.
Thursday.
See, I don't even remember what day it was, because this weekend was so long. We're recording this on Labor Day night, so... I have the official trade for those that might not have seen it. I posted a very quick 55-second like reaction TikTok on our page about just in general what it looked like. My first thoughts really fast. And I hinted about the fact that we really like to talk about trades a couple of days later to have everyone give a chance to go, breathe, right? We exhaled. We exhaled. We are able to actually give you not the right off the gate, oh my God, this is what it means for everybody. Here's a loser. Here's a winner. Here's a... whatever. It's not that. We're going to actually take our
time.
And
there is a winner and a loser.
There is, and we'll go over that. So, really quick, the Cavs sent Jazz forward Lauri Markkanen, first-round pick this year, rookie wing Ochai Agbaji, Colin Sexton, who immediately signed in the sign-and-trade part of this, a 4-year, $72 million or $18 million annually sign-and-trade deal to the Jazz, and they do plan on keeping him, according to both Shams and Woj. They also received 3 unprotected first-round picks that will begin in 2025, 2027, and 2029, excuse me. And then in 2026 is where I was looking there. They have a pick swap, and then 2028 they have a pick swap. So for those keeping count at home, that is 5 total picks and three total assets that are not current picks. You can count Ochai Agbaji as a six pick if you want, if you're that weird. Otherwise, eight total assets for Donovan Mitchell. Well, after we saw that people got, I'm going to say $2 for a dollar with Rudy Gobert. Obviously, at this point, we know what we're getting with Mitchell. It was at least going to be something like that. We talked about the market value of him about at least 6 weeks ago. I don't know what I'm thinking. At least 6 weeks ago, because that's how long Trivia Showdown happened. So my question out the gate to get the juices flowing again, because the season's so close and just actually us talking about basketball again. If you were Danny Ainge, which deal would you have wanted? The one we just had happen, or the rumored, and I'm just going to say rumored very clearly, because obviously these reporters can be wrong. The rumored deal of the Knicks was Barrett, which made it very difficult because of the contract after he signed that extension to be $30 million a year. The rumored Knicks deal was Barrett, Grimes, or Quickley, so either one, and two unprotected firsts in the next two drafts or the next two tiers of drafts that you can get them in. Cavs deal or Knicks deal? Which would you have taken if you were Danny H?
The Cavs deal, easy.
Okay.
Way
Talk
better than the
me through
Knicks
it.
deal.
Talk me through it, because I think that might be a debatable thing with a lot of
Really?
people. I do think, at least I think reactionarily, because of, and I'm, this is, I'm
Like,
speak,
I'll
I'm
give you
stepping out.
this. In those two proposed trades, the best single player would have been RJ Barrett.
That's where people are
I
at.
will
That, and
give you
I'm,
that.
that's it.
Not significantly.
Correct.
I don't think he's significantly better than Colin Sexton. I think he's better than Colin Sexton.
Right at this moment, correct. Yes.
And when I first saw this deal reported, I saw Donovan Mitchell for Colin Sexton. I was like, okay, great for Cleveland, because they've been trying to offload him. And then everything else started rolling. Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji. Three picks, two other pick swaps for Donovan Mitchell.
It just seems like a lot. Yes.
Oh, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
I'm so ready for your basketball again. This is so good. If you're giving me these analogies after a 6 week break, then I'm so excited for the season. Anyway, please don't cancel me. No, I
Okay.
have never seen a single episode. And
To be
by the
fair, I
way,
haven't finished it, but that
I
doesn't
don't plan
matter at
on
this
doing
point.
it. I don't plan on watching it, so that's good.
So, have you seen the GIF on Twitter of Jesse Pinkman, who's a character from Breaking Bad, screaming he can't keep getting away with it?
I have seen that. That is hysterical.
That's
Yes.
how I feel about Danny Ainge right now. He
That's why
can't keep getting away with
I alluded to the $2 for a dollar trade with Rudy
it. Yeah.
Gobert, whether you like
Except
it
he
or
got
not.
like five for $1 here.
Yeah, five
Because
dollars for a
Donovan
dollar.
Mitchell is a very good all-star level offensive player. I would not
100%.
even warrant to call him an all-NBA level offensive player. He's an all-star level offensive player. He is a LaMelo Ball level defensive player. No offense, LaMelo.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. That
And
was so out of left field for you.
depending on
What?
which side you take in Utah, which most people, even the ones that like Donovan Mitchell, tend to kind of err on the Rudy Gobert slash Jazz front office side of Donovan Mitchell wasn't a very good teammate.
The question is, where do we stand on that? Because I think we've made
He's
that
not a
kind of
good
clear.
teammate.
I agree. I think that's where we've ended up with it. And now
I think he's the reason the Jazz fell apart. He didn't try to play defense because they relied on Rudy to bail him out all the time. And I just don't see how that's going to help Cleveland, frankly. And to
my only
offload Markkanen, your first round pick, Sexton, who you've given up on, and your entire future, your whole future. I mean, you have gone all in. If this Garland, Mitchell, Allen and Mobley core doesn't work, and don't get me wrong, I loved Garland, Allen, and Mobley. I was very high on Cleveland through most of last season.
Yeah,
People can go
I.
back and listen to how high I was on Cleveland through most of last season. I think those three are great. I'm worried about what Mitchell will do to that trio. And the fact that the only other option beyond this is like drafting Bronny and bringing LeBron back because,
Well,
frankly, there's nothing else Cleveland can do now. The future's gone. They've traded it to Utah. If it doesn't work, you're done.
so there's a lot to unpack there, and I'll start with this first of all. Shout out to Brian Windhorst. That was my For YouTube audience. You'll see that. But my thought process around that is understanding that the whole point, and I don't feel like, I'm trying to figure out the best way to word this, because I really do like Windhorst. I just don't want to step on any toes. He just gives breadcrumbs way too late, I think, because that's where he's ended up at the point of his career. He just gives these breadcrumbs. He's like, I have all these breadcrumbs. I couldn't give them earlier, so here's them now. And he's very good at that. That's some of his best journalism is, hey, 18 months after a story, here's some very important information that's pertaining to that story.
What is going on in Utah?
Exactly, right? But he had that, and he gave that, and we obviously all should have seen that coming, even before his rant. The point being is he basically alluded to the fact that in his article today, or 4 days ago now, but today I read it, is the whole LeBron thing, like the Cavs left that door open. That's why this deal didn't get done sooner, because the Knicks at this point, as of August 29th, that Barrett deal killed their, it basically killed their chances.
Yeah.
But basically,
and if I'm the Knicks, I wouldn't have traded RJ Barrett to get
100%.
It doesn't make any sense.
And that's even a separate conversation for maybe even when we get to like the East preview, because it's like, where are the Knicks now and how are they going to look with or without Mitchell? We'll be able to lay that out on both in both of our cases. I basically am glad to know now that they essentially were patient with this, but the part I'm pulling my hair out about, and I think we are going to end up, and I just want to be clear on this, I think we, you and I collectively, I don't care that we agree on this, I think collectively we're going to be on the taboo side of this take. I really do think we're going to be on the opposite end of this. I think a lot of people were really high on this deal for Cleveland, and we'll go up through it later. I'm not going to spoil the segment. You'll see it in the title, but we'll go through what we think of Donovan Mitchell as a whole comparison-wise to players in just a little while. So to summarize everything, I'm just a little shocked about, I'm not shocked about the value. We laid that out. Gobert was worth that much. Mitchell was going to at least be worth that much, right? The whole famous Bill Simmons $3/4 trade, whatever, that's not happening anymore with these kind of guys, especially with Danny Ainge. I just also question about if there's already a team like the Thunder doing this and having the same amount of, by the way, in two trades, Danny Ainge has the same amount of picks in the next 7 years that the Thunder do. I want people to understand that is a lot of power. His track record with picks is just like anyone else's if they're in the power that long, 50-50-50. You know, you've had your Romeo Langfords, you've had your Jaylen Browns, you've had your Robert Williams, you've had your Jaren Soldiers, et cetera, right? You've had those.
The credit where credit is due, he did build.
Correct, he did.
Almost all of the current Eastern Conference champion team.
He did, and exactly, and that's what I'm saying. So, like, obviously there's this book left untold, and I'm not sure I like it for either party, I guess is my point. I think it's where I've kind of ended up.
After. I love it for Utah.
I just, that much capital and what you're getting out of it, I think really, I honestly think this is what happened. They were like, if Sexton and Barrett are the same player, and I can get Sexton, and I love the deal for Sexton, $18 million coming off of the meniscus, he'll be fine, right? Like, that's not a career-ending injury anymore, really. It can be, obviously. But if I'm getting Barrett for $30 million, which is ultimately what they were going to pay him, they were never going to pay him that because they weren't going to trade for him. But if they're going to pay Barrett $30 million and I'm getting Sexton for $18 million, and ultimately if the goal is to tank for Wembanyama, or Scoot Henderson, depending on how that turns out. Ultimately, I think that's how, I think that in the short term, that's a great deal for who you're getting out of the base of that player. I just don't think long term, like, obviously, there's just way too much track record to be like, yes, the Jazz won this trade, and it's not even,
I don't,
it just sucks because it's just so early.
If you really focus on just the Sexton part, Lauri Markkanen, I am not ready to give up on. From a player standpoint, I think he has the potential. Yeah, he's a 24-year-old who I think has the potential to be an excellent role player to, like, fifth starter for the remainder of his career. We both love Doug Bodgy in the draft. Like, these are some really key pieces that Ainge got from Cleveland that just kind of behooved me that they were included at all. And then all of the pick stock. So that's why I side very much on the Utah side. I think this deal is a very interesting almost story beat for our podcast as a whole, because my opinion on what has happened here can be gone back and, like, looked at just kind of painstakingly under a microscope of just how things have gone. I blame Donovan Mitchell, or I don't like Donovan Mitchell, because I do think he's the reason that a Jazz team that could have won an NBA championship didn't.
Yep.
Because he's not that guy. I think that his locker room antics, his effort on the defensive end, are the reason that a team that was talented enough, well coached enough, and had all the key pieces to win an NBA title did not do it. And people can see my highs and lows of that over the last 2 years. I'm mockingly called a jazz fan by my friends, who some may
There it
use
is.
over
There it
because
is.
of that to do this day. Because of my love for that, how that team was put together, and for Rudy Gobert, who I still love, Rudy Gobert.
Can't wait to do the West preview. I'll just be real with you. I can't
I
wait.
don't know what I think yet. I won't
I'm
say
so
anything about the
excited.
Timberwolves, but I love Rudy Gobert.
I'm so excited because you're gonna have to take that into account. You know that. They could be fourth, they could be 11th. You never know.
I
That's
just
why I'm
think he's
excited.
very underrated. I think it was because
Hold on.
I think Rudy's good, and so many people don't, and so I kind of just became the de facto Rudy Gobert champion of a small basketball community.
Total side rant that I don't want to go down, but I will just say this. The whole underrated term is so funny to me, especially as we start to talk about stuff, previewing things and how players look and things like that, and teams. The whole underrated thing is hilarious because I know what you mean. Like, in principle, I know you well enough. I get it, right?
I
People
think Rudy
might.
Gobert is one of the greatest defenders in the history of basketball.
Understandably so. I'm in that same camp. Not at, to the extreme, I get it, right? But I respect his all-time value because I'm working on those tiers as we speak. So, what I want to, the underrated part of it that I find hysterical is out of context, this will be someone's first time listening to us and they will go, how is a three-time defensive player of the year underrated? I just want to be upfront with people. I like just understand where you value underrated. That's all I'm saying. Again, side rant. Can I just read you
If it is your
two?
first time listening, and I've made a lot of references here,
Here's the asterisks right here.
it's incredibly complicated, but there's probably 2 years of history about this Utah Jazz team that could provide you context about
It's
this
linked
entire
right here.
situation.
It's all right here.
If you're really devotedly interested in going to find it, please do. Good luck. I
I just
think it
can't
should be
wait.
in a lot of the headlines, but there's just a long history of how my opinion has shaped and changed over the past 2 years.
Just can't wait till we reach that point where, and this has happened a couple of times, but I can't wait till we reach the point where things we say are aggregated fully, where people are like, this is what Josh said in a 1 minute clip, and it's a 60-minute episode. It's like, I can't
Well, I'm
wait for
saying my
that.
opinion is just,
Can't
like,
wait for that.
I feel like I'm staying consistent on it because
Yeah.
I'm still going
You
back
have to.
to what I thought 2 years ago, which is I thought that team was good enough to win a title, and I still think they were, and I think Donovan Mitchell is the reason they did not. It was not Quinn Snyder's fault. It was not Rudy Gobert's fault. It was not Mike Conley's fault. It was not the fault of Bogdanovich or
Completely agree.
Ingles or anyone else. It was the fault of Donovan Mitchell, and that's why it didn't happen.
Completely agree. And I think what people are gonna, and we're getting on the Rudy Gobert
Sorry,
sidetrack.
Donovan
No, it's
Mitchell.
okay.
He's not going to listen to this, so.
Just thought process wise though, I really do think people, and I think this does matter, is I think the COVID thing for about a year and a half, like the PR just as a whole of him as a player, just went down because of what happened with COVID. Like I do think that's actually a thing to be noteworthy and remember. It may not matter in 5 to 10 years in this relationship with Mitchell, but it matters right now because that's this. Look where this team ended up. We're talking about a Donovan Mitchell trade. We're talking about the fact that he is now a Cleveland Cavalier. So there's two things I want to hit, and this is all I have left really. The two things I want to hit are just a couple of things centered around what this means for the future of the Cavs. Like you hinted on it a little bit, obviously, for the fact they're literally giving up everything and good current young players that could help them. I said for months, and you said as well that Agbaji, he was going to help somebody. You know, win a playoff series, period. And he very well should still be on their roster right this moment, 100%. The first part of it is, and I love Windhorst, like I said, I want to give him credit for this, just the centered around how the history of the Cavs is going to look post LeBron, which is also why I'm giving my stance now that I don't think he goes to Cleveland to end his career unless they end up with Bronny. Obviously, that can all change in 2 years,
I
right?
don't think he goes to Cleveland in this career,
He did open that
but
door.
the LeBron Cleveland story isn't over. I don't know if I've shared it on the podcast, but I'll put it
The
this way.
ownership group, right? I think you
I
have.
think that this trade is so bad for Cleveland that LeBron James will own the Cavaliers by the time that Utah is done using
Taking their
Cleveland's
picks.
picks.
Okay. And I think you've hinted it. He's obviously wants, he's got some
I
relationship with
fully
some of
believe,
the.
like, he keeps making more money, he's buying sports teams. He
Well.
is like in love with Cleveland at heart. One day, and I really hope it happens for someone who, talking about me, doesn't traditionally, I don't fall on the side of supporting LeBron James in the NBA normally. I respect how he is great as a basketball player, and I want one day him to purchase the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that's a nice ending to the story, and I want him to purchase the Cavs at one point
I
at some
agree.
point.
I do think it's a great story ending, but I also think people need to understand what his relationship with some of the same people that have some of the Red Sox group that own like Liverpool, and they own the Red Sox, and they own
The
sorry,
Penguins, yeah.
the Penguins, but they also are exploring Vegas. So it's like LeBron will be involved in that in some form or
Yes.
fashion. So that may trump that. So anyway, that's a whole different story. But
He doesn't own a large stake in the Fenway Sports Group. I think that's
no, but he does.
important to correct.
But it will matter
He
long term for
could,
his assets.
yes, I think he could sell that at some point to go purchase Cleveland from Dan Gilbert.
So the two things I thought were these were just more funny than anything that I wanted to read because of the, and I brought the LeBron part of it because he's tied into this, but also where it may just close that door, even though he opened that door with the Ronnie thing. It's not generally the Cavs. The story was highlighted as not leaving the Cleveland door closed, but he was referring to the whole league,
Yeah.
obviously, with the
He's
picks.
gonna play for whoever Bronny plays for.
And whoever Bryce plays for.
And he's talking about sticking around for Bryce. I don't know if he's gonna be like 43, 44
40,
by
it
the
would be
time Bryce
44.
can enter the league. I'm like,
He would be
I don't know
44.
about that one.
He would
I'm
be
fully
44.
convinced it doesn't matter who Bronny gets drafted by. If it's the Orlando Magic, LeBron will be in Orlando. It does
I know
not
why you
matter.
said that too, because he's been very open about that's the one team he'll never play for.
Is
On his
that I
show.
was just throwing
On his
like
show.
someone wild out there, like
Yes. Please go watch that clip. Not you,
if
but
Bronny
everyone.
gets drafted by the Wizards, LeBron is gonna
Oh,
MJ style throw on a Wizards jersey and be out there.
Wizards fans would be intolerable.
It
So really quick, the Cleveland
might be the
Cavaliers.
Knicks' only chance to get LeBron. Maybe they should just think that through.
The Cleveland Cavaliers current president who made this deal and why these eras are separate with LeBron and important was in fifth grade the last time the team won a playoff series that was not LeBron James on the roster. Kobe Altman will turn 40 on September 16th. The other current person involved in this deal, Coach J.B. Bickerstaff, who father, obviously, in the NBA, we talked about him before, had just completed his sophomore season at Oregon State the last time the team made the playoffs without LeBron, of course, and
Shout out Beavers.
he turns 43 this year. So, all that being said, it's just you're basically compartmentalizing these eras for the Cavs. Like, this is a long time where LeBron has been your history and why that matters. And they are basically, and I don't want to just take this lightly or say this lightly, but they are basically leveraging their next 5 to 7 years on Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
And Evan
100%.
Mobley, don't get me wrong, Evan, I get it, but like Mitchell is the part where they will re-sign him for.
Mobley and Garland and Allen, yeah.
Yeah, but that core Mobley is the player there, right? So what I'm thinking here is you got to think about Mitchell. He's a three, this is his third, it'll be the, there's 3 years left of his contract. Do you know what happens on the 3rd year of his contract? That is when
What?
the collective bargaining agreement will adjust, and he will be eligible for almost $55 million. So essentially, you are getting 3 years of Donovan Mitchell before you have to realize that everybody's going to get paid that much, that are worth that much, but he's also going to fall right in that bubble. So you just got to be the
Yeah.
future. I agree with you. That's why I told you I'm okay with us agreeing on this because I think it's not just a apocalyptic 5 years from now. It's also a you have a 3 year window with Mobley, who isn't right this moment an all-star and defensive player of the year, but he can be. And then you have Mitchell, who will be worth potentially 55 plus million dollars in the next 3 years. And I feel nauseous just saying that because it's a lot of money for anyone. That's what would it. Jokic will be worth 75 at that point. Full
And
transparency.
the cap will be higher, so
They're
there's a
correct.
relative thing to it, but
I'm including that in that. That's what I'm saying.
yeah.
That will happen in 3 years, and he will be part of that because the Cavs will have to make that decision financially, or someone else will. And then all of this stuff with the Jazz picks, you essentially, and my whole, I'm going around the circle for a second. You basically have to re-sign him at that point because you're giving up the 7 years of draft capital.
Well,
Otherwise, it
I
was a
think I
wash.
have an interesting question that I came across post this trade that I had a strong opinion on, but I think it's another thing like most people probably don't, or most people probably go the other way. Whose team is this in Cleveland?
Oh my God. I knew you were going to do this. I knew someone
Whose
was going to
team
do
is it
this.
in Cleveland?
My
Who's
answer
the
is.
leader? Who is the locker room leader in Cleveland?
Well, my legitimate answer would be who cares, but I obviously it does
It
matter.
matters. It
It
do,
does
who
matter.
cares? Like,
It's Garland's team.
okay.
It has been Garland's team for the last 18 months.
Is how's that going to work with Mitchell?
I'm
Because right
excited
now,
for
I'll give
October
you this:
18th.
Donovan Mitchell right now better basketball player than Darius Garland.
We'll
I
find
don't
out in a
think that
moment.
lasts very long. Right now, I guess.
We'll find out.
But Cleveland took a big step forward when they took the keys away from Colin Sexton, no offense to him, and handed them to Darius Garland. And they took a leap.
Yeah, I look, I That Cavs team was definitely one of my bigger regrets last year. But then again, down the stretch, it did matter that their best player was still playing, and then they lost their best defender, and their defense, when Allen went down in February, went from 4th to 25th. So Donovan Mitchell doesn't change that. Jared Allen's health does. So ultimately, again, I jokingly say I don't care. It does matter. It's Garland's team. But we're going to basically, and that's a great, I'll just answer your question. We're going to find out within a week whether Mitchell is a good teammate or not. Because this is a good team, and they're actually a lot deeper than people think. Even with giving up some of the other pieces, they still have the Love contract that they can do stuff with. They also have Love to be able to play as a sixth man. Like, he was unbelievable. He was sixth man of the year. I think he was third last year in that voting. He's an unbelievable candidate to keep that role. This is a really good team. And defensively, if they keep Allen and Mobley, that's a very untraditional setup. But Mobley is basically, like I said last year, he's essentially turning into a free safety. Like, they're playing him like a free safety on defense. And I love it. It's one of my favorite styles of defense in this current NBA. Just letting Jared Allen be a diehard rim protector and switcher inside the paint. And then Mobley's like, cool, my 8'11 wing, I'm exaggerating, but my 8'11 wingspan, I'll stand right in the middle of the free throw line and I'll just shuffle when we're in a box and one or whatever they're in, a triangle. Sometimes they'll do that.
He's very
And
talented.
it's crazy. I'm so high on Mobley, and one of my biggest regrets is not having him too in that draft. Straight up, I should have. I'm an
Sure, it's
idiot.
one of Houston's too.
Okay, the book's not written, but I get what you're saying. I'm a lot higher on Mobley than, and a lot of people are, right? But I'm a lot higher on Mobley now, and I should have been a lot higher then. Obviously, you can't predict generational growth. I did say that he had the potential to be that, but I also didn't like stamp that and run with it, which I should have. I don't really like around the basketball part of it. I think we're going to find out very quickly what happens. So I don't really hate. I hate. Or I don't really like. I don't really like to do like the winners, losers, grade, whatever. If you had to give this trade a grade for the Jazz and a grade for the Cavs, what would you give it?
Jazz A plus
Oh my God.
and Cavaliers Can I give it an incomplete?
No, yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. It can
A
be a
we'll
changeable
see
grade. Yeah, I know. I look, and I get
because
it. That's why I hate doing letter grades. But right this
can
moment,
I give it a we'll see? Like, because I'm just not,
I'm
I
gonna give it
don't
one.
like where this is heading, but
I'm
I
gonna give
get
it
what they're
one.
trying to do.
If ultimately the way it depends on the way you view it. So, like, honestly, I'll tell you, I'll give you my letter, and that may give you a better answer. So, it depends on how you view the value of getting the best player in a deal, which we talked about earlier, the difference in Sexton and Mitchell. We'll talk about in just a moment. But what I'm, regardless of what I think about in the next 6 to 7 years with the way the picks work for some of these teams like the Thunder and the Jazz, right? I'm very been very clear. I'm not a huge fan of that until I see what happens, right? It's never happened like this. So to be clear, I think the Jazz get a B plus because they got Sexton on a great deal. That 17 million, 18 million is an unbelievable deal for Sexton because obviously, if you want to suck really bad, you get rid of him once he's tradable. That's a great contract. 18 million. Sorry, Sexton. See you later. You know, Danny Ainge has done crazier things. So Sexton, the money was great. Like we said, marketing. I'm correcting myself. He is 25. I said it earlier. He was 24. He just turned 25 this offseason. So still a little bit in that range of guy. He'd be right in the middle of a quote prime per se if they were good in a couple of years. And then the Agbaji thing. I've been very clear how I feel about him. Right, he's a little bit older for the guy he is. But all in all, with the picks, the situation of the unknown, I think they get a B plus for me because it's Danny Ainge, and I also can't rule out the unexpected. And then for the Cavs, I'm giving them a C minus because of what we currently know about Donovan Mitchell and what we currently feel, we being you and I both, since we agree on this. It's what we think about him as a player, as a teammate, and as what he can do for that locker room eventually if something happens in the next 5 weeks. So that's where I am. I don't like I said I like letter grades better than winner loser. I hate winner loser. It's always been like a thing I've just never liked. I do like letter grades because at least gives you a timestamp to go, okay, this is what we thought about it in September, right? What do we think about it in November when we readdress it, you know? Are you ready for a little game centered around Donovan Mitchell, or do you have anything
Oh
else?
man. Yeah, let's give it to me.
I have a lot of names, so I'm just gonna go ahead and start this. I don't even have a count for them. I don't really care. I'm gonna just roll with it. So shout out really quick. We've done this before with Devin Booker.
Oh, okay.
So
It's
we
the
are. Yeah,
phone.
I told Josh earlier or yesterday. I said he's gonna be able to figure it out, but, again, it'll also be in the title. This isn't some like reveal shock, right? Shout out. I have to give a huge shout out to these guys. They make unbelievable content in the basketball space and NFL space. Joel from Pick a Side Podcast. They are awesome dudes. Joel's been the one kind of headlining this Would You Rather segment in a lot of different sports. And some of their takes on some of these guys, is basically why we're here. So I really am excited to hear both of ours because obviously it's me throwing them at you, but I'm still going to share as well. So,
Can you redefine like the rule set for me, like how general or
yeah.
specific this is?
Would you rather currently take this player or this player? It's that simple.
On a specific team, or
In general.
like if I'm building a franchise from scratch?
If that's how you
Okay.
compartmentalize a guy versus a, like if you were drafting them per se, yes, that's a
Okay.
great way to put it. So if you were starting a team or if you were, because obviously you take age into consideration and all that stuff, I get it, right? There are a lot of them. There are at least four or five lines of these. So I'm going to start with the first one. Bradley Beal. Would you rather Bradley Beal or Donovan Mitchell? Okay, see, I didn't think this was a hard one up the front, and here you are making my life harder with thinking this hard. This is so good. I'm so glad we're here.
How old's Bradley Beal at this point?
29, I believe. I will look that up. I will have my information ready for you as we go. I will pull things that may help you. But it's supposed to be reactionary. That like these
I
guys
don't
do it in like
know.
5 seconds. That's why I'm like, just
Okay, my
he's
reaction was to say
29.
Donovan. My reaction was to say Donovan.
Okay. And you probably hate yourself for that. Bradley Beal is 29 years old. So, I would take Bradley Beal over Donovan Mitchell right this moment, knowing everything we know. Devin Booker.
Booker.
Devin Booker's the best shooting guard in the NBA right now. Literally, people all offseason have done lists and tiers for shooting guards. He's been number one in everybody's list, period. Zach
We'll
LaVine.
see. Levine.
LaVine as well. Jaylen Brown.
Brown.
I'm Jaylen Brown as well. I think the playoffs is going to shadow that a little bit, or it's going to kind of highlight that for a lot of people about around the impact and the performance because Tatum had a bad series. But I don't think people, and I've said this for months now, I don't think people need to realize, like, they need to understand how bad Jaylen Brown is with the ball in his hand sometimes. And it really hurts,
I
at least
think
Donovan
he's
Mitchell.
not as bad as you say he is. I think
No,
you
and
over-exaggerate it.
I a little bit, but also the Warriors did highlight that a lot. They were able to really expose it, which is a
Yet he
testament
was
to their
still the only
defense.
Celtic that could score in that
He
series, so.
was. Exactly. That just shows you sometimes how good Jaylen Brown really is. I think Jaylen Brown and Zach LaVine are very close for people. I was very
I
on the
like
fence.
Levine a lot. I'm way higher on Levine.
I am too. I just
I
think it was
stuck
a
my
lot
neck out for
closer.
Levine before this breakout season this past year
I know. Start
that
bench cuts. Start bench
I
cuts. It was
stuck my neck
always.
out for Zach Levine when it was unpopular. I called him just as good as Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell. Oh, how things have changed in that conversation.
Here we are. No, I think the LaVine one, I think a lot of people are going to laugh at that maybe, but I think it's very close for me personally, and I think the public will think that as well. Jaylen Brown, same thing, depending on what you view him as. So, all right, next, RJ Barrett.
Donovan Mitchell.
I'm with you there as well, Donovan Mitchell. What we know currently, obviously, the next 5 years will tell something else, probably. Colin Sexton.
Donovan Mitchell. I already said that.
That's why I wanted to throw that one in the middle as
It's
like
because
a.
I've also heard Colin Sexton's not a very good
He's the same guy, by the way.
teammate.
He's
He's
the
kind
same
of the
guy.
same player, just not quite as good. It's
He's
the only
the
problem.
same guy, by the way, though. We gotta, people make the joke about they got the dog in him. I hate it, but I think it's funny. He beat Minnesota 3-on-5 and when he played for Alabama. They fouled out people and he literally won them that game in overtime. It was 3-on-5 on the court against Minnesota, and he
He's
won them
got
that
that
game.
street ball mentality. You
He
can't
really
teach it to
does.
a lot of guys, but well, I don't, we'll see how that fares.
I think these start to get
I
really
hope
good.
all the best for Colin Sexton. I really do.
I do too. I never doubted him, especially with the meniscus thing. You have to give him a chance. Jimmy Butler.
Butler.
Jimmy Butler. I know. Some of these are just to soften you up. Some of these are to make you think a little bit. Some of these are not. CJ McCollum. Here we are. I'm gonna have a really fun time with this one on
I'm
TikTok.
gonna take Donovan, but only because I think CJ is getting. I don't want CJ's age at this point. I think he's gonna go over the hill pretty soon here.
It's all going to matter how fast the Pelicans and if Zion plays, he's going to really matter if they actually can win a title here in the next 2 years. I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell, and at this current moment, I don't think it's close. Cade Cunningham.
Okay.
Cade, I agree. Klay Thompson.
Donovan Mitchell.
I'm going to also go Donovan Mitchell very carefully.
Haven't seen anything to prove to me that Clay pre ACL injury, so the first one in the Toronto series, is back. I have not seen anything to indicate to me that that Clay Thompson ever returned.
All right. Damian Lillard.
Lillard.
Lillard. Trae Young.
Trae Young. Kidding me?
DeJounte Murray.
Murray.
Tell me more about that one.
I mean, I
Talk me
was big
through.
on DeJounte last year. I
I
think
know. I know. For people that
he
don't know
is
that.
one who has battled injuries for a while, and he finally got healthy and kind of was given the keys by Pop last season, and he soared. I mean,
Basically got his way out of town, which was kind of
offense,
crazy.
defense, playmaking, creating for his teammates. He helped a Spurs team that was awful, that having traded him now is considered one of the front runners for Wembanyama, almost to make the play-in. Like, his impact can't be lightened.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you thank you for elaborating, because obviously this is me throwing them at you, and I would agree with most of those things. I just they're different. I'm giving guys in a same tier of guard, and I think people are starting to realize that it's a guards
Murray has
thing.
changed quite a bit in his,
Yes. Oh
like,
yeah.
someone whose position has changed in, like, the hierarchy of the NBA, and just need to recognize a little bit that his position has changed. He's taken a leap into a higher echelon of guys now.
No spoiler on the East for me, but I'm really excited to really deep dive them because I
You
just.
see, that's also what bothers me, because as a Hornets fan, I don't like Atlanta.
Well, the pairing,
Sorry,
the
Mason, but,
no,
like,
no,
I
but the
just
pairing of
don't
them is
like
really
from.
good.
Yeah, I know.
The more I've had time to really go through this trade this offseason, and I'm not spoiling anything, like I said, I'm gonna be very careful what I say, but the more I've had time to just take this offseason to really deep dive my notes, I've really been proud of that research this year. This pairing of those two is really gonna be good. Like, it's gonna be awesome to see. De'Aaron Fox.
Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. James Harden.
James Harden.
Okay.
I don't know
Anthony
why it took
Edwards.
you that long. Edwards. I think everyone
Edwards
would
as
take
well.
Edwards at this point.
I agree. We're not gonna unfortunately have we've already planned out, spoiler, I'm not spoiling anything, but like I'm telling people this. We've already basically planned out our schedule for the next 5 weeks of the season, leading into the season. And unfortunately, shooting guard tier rankings will not be included in that probably, but unless something changes, they might just be like a cool little thing to post on Instagram. But Anthony Edwards would be very high on my list, and Donovan Mitchell would, to answer the question, would be below him as well. I did not answer the last three. I would have Mitchell over Fox. I would have currently have Mitchell over James Harden because of what we've seen in the last 2 years. I don't know if Harden's healthy, if Harden's fat, or Harden's lazy. I have no idea where
He's
we are
not
with James
fat
Harden.
anymore, if you've seen recent
I know.
photos.
I get it. I get it. But as of right now, of the last 2 years, I don't know if
Got
James
fit. You
Harden.
see him throw his cake in the ocean?
I did. That was
Man, we have not
hysterical.
done a podcast for a while, because there's just some stuff that hasn't been mentioned.
It's just the stupid NBA offseason is all it is. I'm not overreacting to any of it. But no, yeah, Mitchell with James Harden. I think a lot of people that this might be the TikTok that goes crazy because people are going to be like, what the heck is he talking about? But the last 2 years of James Harden, we've never, and I'd love for somebody to do the research on this, honestly, homework. I would love to see an example via history of basketball or basketball reference of tell me where a guy had his true NBA historical peak. Because James Harden, top 75 player all time. Like, that's not debatable.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a top three or four shooting guard all time, not debatable, right? But here's my point.
At his peak, he's the best scorer we've seen since Michael Jordan.
He had his peak. He had that peak you're talking about. Tell me a guy in NBA history where they completely had their peak. And the guys have had multiple peaks, I get it. But where they showed a deterioration and then showed up another huge peak to help Philly win a title like that. But I'm just not convinced, and we don't have time to go through that examples now. We've got 75 years of history. But my point is it's if it has happened, it has not happened often. So James Harden would be basically a exception to a rule, having a huge peak where he's the best player on a championship contending Rockets team, fall off for 2 years, regardless of the fat, lazy, or whatever it is, doesn't matter, or hurt. And then be like, oh, by the way, I'm going to be the second best player on a championship team where it's debatable I'm the best player because of Joel Embiid, right? That's going to be huge to see. He doesn't have to be the best player, obviously. Joel Embiid's the better player on that team. That's not close. Sorry. So.
No, I'm not disagreeing.
Tyler Hero.
I
Told you some of these were just for fun. I just wanted to see what you'd say. It turned into a really long list.
well, because I'm not some psychopath from South Beach, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, thank you. Who, by the way, could have been teammates. He would have been the second best
Yeah.
shooting guard on his own team.
Oh,
Hero
Tyler
would be.
Hero would have had to be traded in that trade. You know it. They'd love him in Utah.
Jalen Green. I'm gonna let that go. Jalen Green.
Donovan Mitchell.
Are you taking a lesser of two evils? Is that what,
Yeah.
is that where we are? Okay.
I don't know what I think of Jalen Green right now.
I think Rockets
Like
fans.
just horribly disappointing first half and a post All-Star break that showed a lot of promise. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's okay. The book, again, like I've said all episode, the book is not written yet. Obviously, sorry, James, if that offends anybody in the Rockets community. Jrue Holiday.
Mitchell.
Okay. This is a good one. I spent way too long on this one. Oh, sorry, I should probably answer these. Hero, I would have Mitchell over Hero. Jalen Green, I would have Mitchell over Hero. Currently, I do think those can change. Jrue Holiday, I unfortunately, as much as I love Jrue Holiday, I think Mitchell right now is a better overall. Well, okay, let me take that back. Not better overall player. Let me be very careful in my wording. I think Mitchell is currently a better talented player. And I think that's just where the line gets drawn for me. This is the one I spent way too long on. Jamal Murray.
Oh, Murray. Yeah.
And you're assuming
Took
he's
me a
back
second
fully
to
healthy.
realize what. Well, yeah.
Yeah. This is the big asterisk, because technically the Mitchell's the right answer because of the currently part of it, but Murray is like, we assume
I
that he
think he's
doesn't come back
healthy
from
now. I
injury.
mean, the assumptions he's going to play,
And
like,
be good.
whatever Denver's first game is, he'll be
He
starting point
is.
guard, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But I'm just saying you're assuming that he'll be back to the same level he was in the bubble, which, by the way, they were going at
I
each other,
am.
and Mitchell lost that battle, right? Murray outplayed him, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets did.
And I'm really, part of it just might be me being hopeful because I have continued to harp on this Denver thing.
It's
But
understandable. No, I get it.
until I see to the contrary of Jamal Murray not having it, I'm gonna stick that he will.
Again, also why I'm excited about the West rankings. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Alexander, excuse me.
SGA, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm not gonna ask you to elaborate if you want to, but I'm intrigued by that. I am. I agree, but I think it's really close. Like, I think I would hum and haw on that one. I think I'd probably change my answer tomorrow.
I significantly like his size way better. That's one of the things I went to first in my head.
That's fair. If it's that close, then if that's the difference maker as a potential defender, then yeah, you're probably right there.
I
Kyrie
was
Irving.
hope. Oh,
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie. Well, so
Here we go. This is great.
okay.
Josh's two favorite players. I'm just
So,
kidding. No.
okay. Well, what is your question? Kyrie Irving? A
Currently,
basketball player or the human being? Does
basketball player,
whether or
obviously.
not Kyrie is going to show up and put on a jersey that day matter for my question?
I mean, here's the thing. If we're getting really murky with it, Jamal Murray is going to fall into that same category, like I
Well,
said,
no,
but if
that's an
we're,
injury thing. Like
yeah, it's
we're
true.
assuming like
We're drafting this guy.
in
You're drafting Kyrie
whether
Irving. You're
Kyrie
getting what you're getting.
Irving is going to show up and play basketball, does that factor in?
I can't answer that for
If
you because
yes, I will go Donovan Mitchell.
I have my own answer, and I just
I still think Kyrie Irving, who shows up and plays basketball, I
I
will
love the
take him
emphasis,
over
most
most
people.
players in the NBA.
And that's the part about you I've always found fascinating is you're like, he's a top whatever number. You've never said it per se, but you're basically
Yeah.
like, he's an upper echelon player, and he is.
He is. I mean, it's undeniable if you
However,
watch him. Like,
however.
it's undeniable if you watch him play, but it's just the issue of will he play? I kind of feel the same about Ben Simmons sometimes. I was never out on Ben Simmons talent-wise,
That's
but
a good
will
one.
he play?
I didn't even have Ben Simmons on this list. That's a good one. It's not. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell's a better player than Ben Simmons,
Yeah.
but yeah.
But I was never out on like, but people have like looked at Ben Simmons like he's a negative asset. I think he's a massively positive asset if he's on
To me, it's Kyrie Irving, whether he plays or not.
the court.
That's why I was just letting you softball yourself. I was letting you just say whatever you needed to say and get it out. And I'm just going to be like, hey, by the way, I don't think this one's close.
My knee-jerk reaction was Kyrie Irving, but it's like,
You just
I'll
hate yourself,
take 82
obviously.
games of Donovan Mitchell versus 25 of Kyrie, sure.
I'll take one of Kyrie as much. And look, I okay. Let again, like you made the joke earlier. We have not recorded a podcast together in a while. Obviously, I've made my thoughts in the last 8 months about Kyrie Irving very clear. As a person, as a basketball player, I will take him in one versus most people. One game. If I get one game of Kyrie Irving, I'll get Game 6, 2016, win the finals, Kyrie Irving, hopefully. Which, by the way, basically he shows up every time he plays. Like that guy. Track record wise, has very, very rarely has a struggle game. It's very funny to me.
If the NBA held a gigantic 1v1 streetball tournament,
As long as he didn't get matched
Kyrie
up against
Irving would win.
Giannis, Yeah, as long as he didn't get matched up with like a Giannis, then
even
yes,
if
I
he
agree.
Got matched up against Giannis.
Wait,
NBA
what?
hosts a 1v1 make it take it street ball tournament. Kyrie
make
Irving.
It take it. That's good. Okay.
Give me Kyrie Irving.
I just feel like if Giannis gets the ball first, Kyrie's screwed though. Anyway,
okay, maybe not make it take, but like the point being, it's like I think, yeah, just give me a yes. NBA wide
this
every
worked.
Player 1v1 street ball tournament. I'm taking Kyrie Irving as the winner.
Humble brag
That's
here.
That's what I think about.
Humble brag here. This segment. Shout out again to Joel from Pick a Side. This segment's a success every time we do it. All two times. All right, I think the last three are really good. Tyrese Halliburton.
You can clip that whole. I just realized you can clip that whole thing about me and the Kyrie.
Oh yeah.
Tournament. Just make that a TikTok.
I'm making notes. I'm taking notes, and that's
just
already
take
on the
that
list.
And be a clip.
Yep. Tyrese Halliburton.
Wow.
Told you these last three I think are the hardest three, or one of the hardest three.
Dang. I'm gonna go super potential here and take Halliburton because I am super high on him.
Okay.
I'm just gonna ride that I'm super high on his potential and hope he reaches it.
But this is currently. I have to remind you of that. Currently. Yes. Okay.
But that factors in age and moving forward. Like we
it
talked
does.
About that.
That's yeah. right. It does. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell solely for the talent thing. Like, I think they're
both
very talented.
I realize I'm making a hot take going Halliburton. I understand that.
No. And that's, and look, and I'm fine with, and I, if I
Pacers
had,
Pacers fans
me,
will love me.
If I had long enough to just go over this, I think I would probably have went Tyrese eventually, but I just think for the sake of where we are, I have to take Mitchell currently. He's so talented. Like him or not as a teammate. Last two. His teammate, Darius Garland.
Garland's.
We talked about it earlier a little bit, and I didn't want to spoil it, but you said, like, whose team is it? That's not the answer here. That's not what we're talking about. But it is, hey, who would you rather have? Well, you have both of them. Who's better? That's basically what it comes down to now. So you would take Garland.
Yes.
All right. And then lastly, the one I hum and hawed on the most towards the end of this list. And I hope you actually react to this and don't just sit, give me a reactionary answer. Paul George. Thank you. Thank goodness. I felt like an idiot for a while when I was going through this, and I was like, why am I spending 3 hours figuring out if Paul George is better than Donovan Mitchell currently? And I'm so glad you validated that 3 hour gap there. I spent way too long.
I hadn't thought of it as a comparison. I'm gonna take PG, but
I
just hadn't thought about it from that side. Again, I think that one thing has to be remembered. I'm way higher on Paul George than the average human is on him as a basketball player. I've said before on here, I think he's the prototype of a shooting guard in the NBA. If I could design a shooting guard from scratch, I would make him look like Paul George.
Out of 26 answers, how many do you think you rank Donovan Mitchell ahead of?
7.
Close. 11.
Hmm.
You ranked Donovan Mitchell better than, and I'm going to go through this list, and if I missed any, that's great. Bradley Beal, RJ Barrett, Colin Sexton, CJ McCollum, Klay Thompson, De'Aaron Fox, Tyler Hero, Jalen Green, Drew Holiday, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyrese Halliburton.
No,
Darius
I took
Garland.
SGA. Hmm?
That's right. Good correction. 10. Thank you. That's why I've read through them, because I'm just glad I didn't miss any. All right. So let me take it back. So Drew Holiday, Tyrese Halliburton, and Darius Garland.
No, I took Tyrese Halliburton.
See, towards the end, I lost.
You took Donovan Mitchell.
I took Donovan Mitchell, yeah. Sorry. So you had 8.
Okay.
So I was off. So you were close.
I was very close then.
Yeah, I don't know where I got
this. Yeah, I mean, I figured it wouldn't be high.
So currently, guys that you think are better, I think this will be easier to read back. Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Jalen Brown, because hearing these names, they're in my head, they're better. Jimmy Butler, Cade Cunningham, Damian Lillard, Trey Young, DeJounte Murray, James Harden, Anthony Edwards, Jamal Murray, SGA, Kyrie Irving. Which did you do? Where did we end up on the Kyrie thing? You did take Kyrie, right? Or did you take Mitchell?
I think I took Mitchell.
You did take Mitchell.
I didn't.
Who cares?
If you're talking about who list of basketball players I think are better than Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, throw Kyrie on there. I do think he's better than Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, but currently, I get it. Yeah.
Extenuating circumstances. Why? Donovan.
So the end of this list, SGA, Kyrie, Tyrese Halliburton, Darius Garland, and Paul George. So 8 people. That's really not. And look, by the way, if people understand this, this is not a shooting guard tier ranking. That's not what this is. There are players that are very similar.
Half of these are like
guards.
Point guards. Like, this is just a guards list.
And that's how the positionless basketball has ended up. If you're taking a talent currently standpoint of some of these guys, a lot of those names are going to matter if you're going between Cade Cunningham and Donovan Mitchell. If you're the Pistons right now, with especially with Jaden Ivey, you're going to want Cade Cunningham instead. Obviously, he's a potential generational player. People still think that, and I'm ready for that breakout. All right.
I'm really glad that you showed remorse and did not ask me LaMelo Ball or Donovan Mitchell.
So I intentionally was either going to make that the first or the last question, and honestly, you brought it up. Answer the question, because I was gonna do it, and I just went with the moral answer. I was just like, let me not have him do that, but you brought it up. Obviously, you're gonna say LaMelo Ball.
Duh. There's a different question you could have asked if you wanted a hot take, but we're not going to go down that road.
Yeah, tell me after recording, and I'll see if it's worth the tweet. Josh, give us an update on the Georgian and Turkish basketball brawl. Feud
So let's talk about
thing.
Eurobasket.
There it is. That's a good
Who
way.
here has been following Eurobasket? Not me, but
Oh, yeah, sorry. Put my hand down.
If anyone wonders, it's essentially the European nations have been having a very intense basketball tournament that a lot of NBA players are in during the summer. Giannis and Luka talk about it a lot. I don't think Nikola's playing, which is a bit.
He played against Giannis. I don't know if it was in
Oh,
Euro, but
did he?
he
Okay.
did. Yeah, they went against each other. Against each other.
I hadn't seen as much publicity about Nikola playing, which I would expect because it was all over the place for Giannis and Luka's participation. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the game between Turkey and Georgia that happened a couple days ago. There was a lot of extenuating circumstances, but there are a couple of NBA players to address. On the Turkish national team side, Furkan Korkmaz of the Philadelphia 76ers shooting guard. Significant members on his team, Alperen Şengün, who's been having an incredible tournament over for the Turkish national team. And then the Georgian team and Pacers big man Goga Batadze. During the game, there was some kind of officiating mistake that resulted in one team winning that probably shouldn't have, an extra time runoff. The aftermath of that situation meant there was a lot of bad blood stewing between the Turkish and Georgian players. And post-game, near the Turkish locker room, Tornike Şengelya, Duda Senadze, and Indiana Pacers big man Goga Batadze jumped Furkan Korkmaz in the back hallways after the game and attacked him, trying to beat him up following a game that Georgia won. It is now turned into really a national incident. Or an international incident between the two countries, the two teams. The entire Eurobasket tournament is kind of under controversy at this point. Turkey has been talking about walking from the tournament as a whole if videotape security tapes from what happened aren't released. Many are probably pushing for Georgia's disqualification for the entire tournament as a whole. So things have really gone off the rails. And another thing that someone pointed out in the aftermath, Philadelphia, Korkmaz's team, and Indiana, Batadze's team, play like 2 weeks into the NBA season. So this is going to be a situation that kind of continues on. Trevor, what are your thoughts on all of that?
So I want to admit something first. I do watch Eurobasketball sometimes, or Eurobasket, this whole league thing. I've watched it in the past. I have not watched it this year. It just hasn't been the forefront of my off season. I don't have like a take on this like I probably should. I did look at it. I followed it a little bit, et cetera. Obviously, the extent of following the actual league has been anytime a notification pops up about Giannis, but or Luka, but. I'm all for drama, and you know that. I'm all for some NBA drama, NBA Twitter drama, NBA all of it, right? And these two guys play, you said, 2 weeks into the season. I have League Pass like I do every year, and that will be a highlight on the calendar. Please watch Pacers and Sixers.
Sixers
I had to remember which team for Korkmaz was on.
for
Yeah,
Korkmaz against Batadze.
Pacers in week two of the NBA season in
And
October.
it's I mean it's
Pacers
also
Sixers.
like you gotta step back and look from like some of the other teams because there's other players bouncing around here like when Houston plays Indiana because of Şengün being one of the Turkish players to when Milwaukee plays
right.
Philadelphia or Houston, because Sandro Mamukelashvili, who's now becoming a significant role player for Milwaukee, was actually the player of the game for Georgia's victory, with 20 points and 12 rebounds, leading them to the win there. So you've got like a lot of NBA players kind of scattered around that have been involved in this very heated situation. Mamukelashvili was not involved in jumping Furkan Korkmaz. I want to make that very clear. But he is, I mean, obviously is kind of embroiled in the midst of this.
Yeah, I don't condone, I don't know if this needs to be said, but to be clear, I don't condone any of the actions. But I do find it fascinating as someone who really only follows soccer for, you know, every 4 years, like in the large scale of the world, and how things are played out with the World Cup and how some of these countries do have a bad blood or do have a, I don't like the word rivalry in a country's sake, because that's not what it is, but it's these countries, right? There's war involved if things happen sometimes, right? But my point being is I just find it fascinating that like soccer's never had something like this happen when it comes to like countries playing, and it probably has happened on a larger scale.
It 100% has.
But for basketball to do this and just be like, hey, by the way, now it's going to matter for an NBA regular season game 2 weeks into the season that these two guys might fight each other or stab each other in the hallways, like that's just... it's just a lot, you know. I just think it's
I don't think anyone said anything about someone stabbing each other in the hallways. I hope it doesn't get to that
bad
point.
Blood with international conflict, man. I'm just look, it's crazy, it's drama, it's a lot to follow, but I do think Eurobasket's interesting, and I do think this kind of, whether it's good press or bad press, I do think this is interesting for Eurobasket, because I think it will put more eyes on it. It'll put more eyes on it. That's, I think, where that will matter, right?
I think it's very interesting. I think basketball is, I've said for years, basketball is becoming a more international game. Yada yada. Basketball is an international game. Forget becoming. Because if we're going to talk about who we think the best players in the world are, if I ask you to name your top five players in the NBA today, how many of them are American?
I'll just do this now because I like doing these things on the fly compared to you sometimes. In no particular order, Luka, Giannis, Jokic, Joel Embiid, those are all players that are not born in the United
four
States
of
America.
None of them are American.
In the current top five,
I
guess
believe
it would...
Joel Embiid might be a naturalized citizen.
He is
working on it,
but it doesn't matter. That doesn't. Yeah. He's born in another place, which I don't count him as a part of that bubble. So I guess if you want to say like a LeBron is fifth or whatever, but like those
Steph
four guys,
or something like that,
Steph, whatever, doesn't matter. It's four guys that are not American and an American. So yes, no, I get it.
Basketball is an international game now. It's not just America at this point.
Going even beyond that. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what we did this year that I found really fascinating that I hope we one day get? MVP ballots. We did MVP ballots this year, like fully with an actual load of context behind it. And I'm just going off my recapped ballot here. I had Jokic, Giannis, in this order, Embiid, Luka, Jason Tatum. So again, same example you're giving me. I'm giving you another example outside of the five best players. I'm giving you my MVP ballot. If I had a ballot for the NBA this year or like this past year, and I hope we do one day.
I think my ballot went Jokic, Giannis, Gobert. Is how mine went.
Either way, it doesn't matter. It still ends up with the five guys.
Neither of us picking Americans here.
All of yours would have been international if it goes up by that standard.
It wouldn't have been all five.
Would have been Luka and then...
I don't know. I think I might have gone Trey at some point in there. Yeah.
So still one American. So yeah. Who cares? But it's the fact that like whether you spin that one way or the other, the fact that the NBA is in really good hands internationally, which is why I think it's really exciting to see that, yes, we talked about it earlier, LeBron might play when Bryce is in the NBA, which he would be 44. But
I don't believe that's going to happen.
Eventually, I'm only counting, and I've said this for years even before the show, I have always felt that the passing of the torch will never actually happen unless LeBron is no longer playing basketball, period. Like, yes, he's probably not going to be the best player in the world, but with his impact and the way he's viewed as the poster child of the NBA, someone will take it over when he's retired. Retired is the key word. It's going to be Luka, you're Giannis, you're Embiid, et cetera. Who's the poster child?
I would argue
forward?
That Steph already took the torch from LeBron.
Probably.
If we're talking about where the torch went...
This era.
Going back to Michael. So yeah. Michael, I'm going to say Shaquille, then
or
Kobe.
Shaq, yeah. Either way. But
Shaq, then Kobe. Yeah. LeBron.
Uh-huh.
Steph.
Okay. And that's, by the way, do the math on how long that gap is. That's a really big gap. LeBron basically had it for 12 and a half years.
Well, if we say that Kobe keeps it till like 2010, 2011, whenever last Lakers title is, then goes to LeBron, and LeBron keeps it till... 2016,
2016, 17.
When the Cavs win the 2015-16 when the Cavs win the title, and then after that it goes to Steph.
Yeah, and even if you want to go as far as saying like it butts all the way up until LeBron wins that first MVP, which is 09 or 08, 09. So then like either way, it's still a huge gap. It's still insane, right? And I don't love this conversation because yes, it probably could be Steph, but ultimately let's say LeBron's kept it the entire, and I'm thinking beyond the fact of best player, we can go from there, but after that, but I'm saying the fact that of the poster child part of the NBA and how he understands his image as the poster child of the NBA and as its marketable best marketable person, unless he's not on a basketball, if he's not on a basketball floor at age 44, age 40, doesn't matter. If he's actively wearing a jersey of some kind, he will always have to be that like guy that leads the front of the, like the guy that comes out with the Olympics and leads the torch, right? Like that guy, that's always going to be the guy people see first, right? It's LeBron. The moment he's actually in an ownership group or a coach or whatever he does after his playing career, the moment he's actually in that and not coming back for sure is when somebody like Giannis, Luka, whatever can take it over. And I'm just so excited that I hope it's still an international guy. It could be Evan Mobley one day. It could be an American.
It's
It could be somebody like
Giannis.
that, right? But it's somebody like that, right?
I
It's
think it's
Giannis.
set to be Giannis.
I just don't know the age at that point. How old is Giannis going to be when LeBron's 43,
Still, does
44?
it matter? He hasn't even gotten to his real prime. Like,
It's
if we're
true.
talking about his biological prime, which is probably
I agree.
29 years old, he's like 26. Like,
Yeah. No, I
there's
get
so
it.
much
And
time
that's,
with him.
he is. And that's the why I'm super excited to make these like tiers of players all time because Giannis is like already past like Kevin Garnett for a
It's
lot of
just saying it's
people.
going to be Giannis because I mean, like, he's a two-time MVP. He's won the title, and he's universally beloved. At one
That
point,
helps
LeBron
a
James
lot.
was universally beloved at one
It is.
point. And that's like you don't become the poster child if you aren't at some point. Like at some point, everybody loves you. Once you become the guy, you kind of become the target, the one that has to be beaten. I mean, that's what happened to Michael. It's what happened to Kobe because Kobe got really hated down the stretch. Happened to LeBron. It's happened to Steph Curry, honestly.
And it
Curry has a bit become the villain. He's the target. He's the dynasty.
and that's all the on-court stuff. It even matters like in the little things that LeBron understands because he's been in that role for so long. It's the charitable stuff. It's the you go to play at a Seattle pro-am and the guy people show up for weeks at a time waiting for, or days at a time or whatever, waiting to see him, and then they only play a quarter and a half. So then he takes pictures with people and he actually gets to meet those fans that came out of their way, you know, went out of their way to see him. That's the little things that people are gonna hate, but like, or people shouldn't hate, but they do. And LeBron knows how to impact those things and understand the moment as like, hey, I'm still playing. Whether I'm the best player or not doesn't matter. I am the face of the NBA, and that matters to people. And that's, I mean, ultimately where we are having this conversation. So, all right, that was weird.
That was
It
really,
was
yeah.
good. Hour and 2 minutes of actual validity and basketball conversation. I was
Feels
gonna do
good.
this. I was gonna do this at the end. I'm Josh. I'm excited and just call it a day. But we're still 5 weeks away, so I want to do this really quick. I do want to just let people know without spoiling anything, at least what to look forward to if you're new. For the people that have been here for months and years, we see you and we appreciate you. So you're gonna really enjoy what's coming up. But we have the calendar right here in front of us, and what is coming up over the next 5 weeks. And we're not gonna spoil anything. Like I said, I'm just gonna give you a general idea. Season starts on the. And whether I like this or not, it starts on a Tuesday on the
Always does.
18th. I know.
You just forget every year.
I just hate. I want it to be later in the week. Anyway, not for selfish content reasons, but anyway. So 18th, right? On Tuesday. So we'll have some form of preview show way down the road for that, right? Right before the season. You're gonna get in the next 5 weeks in no particular order, you're gonna get East previews, which are, oh man, at least an hour. That might be an understatement.
Usually an hour and a half.
Pretty much. We'll go 15-1 if you're new here. We'll go from worst team in the East that we think. We don't actually think we throw out actual records of these teams. We might could throw that
Shout
mention
out
this year.
Orlando.
Oh my
Sorry.
God. You're spoiling things ahead of time. So
I don't feel like that
15-1.
should be a spoiler.
Maybe. We'll see. I haven't fully broken down the East because I'm regretting or I'm dreading doing it. So East preview at some point you'll get. You're going to get Western Conference preview at some point in the next 5 weeks. You're going to get our award predictions, which is always a really fun one because the few things that have been aggregated, that's been one of them. Love the award show. That, as well as the playoff predictions and who wins the title and things like that, and any other major storyline centered around some of the odds and things like that. You'll get a fantasy basketball show that I'll just tell you right now, Josh and four other people are the only ones I have any idea about what's going on. There will probably be, I think, six or seven people involved in this. So this will be a large scale production of some
I
kind.
think it's only currently the plan is only
Oh.
three guests.
Oh, so five. Okay, that's good. I
Five.
can work with that.
Right now, that's the plan.
For the sake of fitting us all on a screen, six might be more helpful. But anyway, so fantasy basketball, you'll get something like that. Get a lot of good stuff coming there, even though I have no idea. And then what am I forgetting? Oh my gosh. Oh, next week, no spoilers, like I said, but next week we're gonna have a really, 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 really cool guest that I'm just super, super, super stoked about, and I'm trying to just not step on any. Like, ah, by the way, here's who it is. I'm just trying to be really careful, but you will want to be tuned in next week. And this is my fair warning ahead of time. It will go out on Thursday. So you will get a really large gap. Well, I guess you'll only get a day late, technically, but you'll get an 8-day gap with a post here. So this will come out on Wednesday. There will be stuff centered around the offseason and college basketball coming up on TikTok and Instagram. So don't forget to follow in those places. I just found a way to mesh the schedule into the promo of where to find us. So that was really cool. But TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all of that stuff's coming. A lot of major upgrades for us. And we're super, super excited to share that stuff with you guys. Thank you for all of you who've been around for a while. We greatly appreciate all the support. So.
Yeah, if you stuck around through the off season and the experiment that was the Trivia Showdown, as well as just kind of like sticking through and not kind of dipping out of basketball in our talk for the off season, we really appreciate it. We're gonna keep working to do new things. We've still got a lot of new things we're planning. We want to continue to do things to keep it new and exciting. And we hope you all stick around. We'll still do the regular things. Trevor and I will go back to competing with each other on trivia. We still hope to continue to try to send new ideas, and we're working on a lot of things that should be a lot of fun moving forward. So stick around, and hopefully it's a good time for all involved.
If you have any suggestions and want to give fair credit to where it came from, either from yourself or another show's inspiration, you can always just send a message on Twitter or on Instagram, leave a comment on this post, whatever the case may be. If you have something you absolutely think is hysterical or absolutely think is really noteworthy and you want us to do it, I mean, share it with us. Let's find out. Let's see if it works, right? It'd be really fun to try out. So, all right. This has been a lot of fun. I don't even know what to do anymore because we're closing out and not having to give a score update and all this. It's
Yeah.
such a weird thing and, you know, all that stuff. But it's been a lot of fun. Thank you again to all the people that were on Trivia Showdown the last couple of weeks. Obviously, off the top of my head, I could probably do it. But, you know, obviously, we've had a lot of great people on that we do plan to have back on again. So check out all their stuff. Check out all those Trivia Showdown episodes that were absolutely hysterical. Every single one of them I enjoyed watching, rewatching, making. Editing, all the just all the things where I had to listen to it at least once or twice or three or four times. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I almost forgot what to say at the end. Josh, close us out.
This has been another episode of the Two Pointers Podcast. I am not a jazz fan.
See, I was gonna say something funny, so I'm just gonna say it. I'm Trevor.
And we will see you soon.